Around Australia. Here's Inside Motorsport.
Yeah, and we're back again for another weekend of motorsport reports from all around Australia and all around the world. With lots of things happening this weekend. Of course, got the Brazilian Grand Prix taking place over in Brazil. We've seen the first round of the Konica V8 Lights, V8 supercars at Eastern Creek. And of course, we've got the first round of the Australian Rally Championship coming up any old day now. And Craig, other things happening there as well, Craig.
Yes, we also take a look at round number two of the Formula Holdens. NASCAR, Winston Cup news, NHRA, drag racing action, and a whole bunch more, including some news direct from Thruxton on the Power Tour. Now, I accidentally called up the wrong person, and wouldn't you know it, it was Mark Webber's press lady, Anne Neal, who had some great news for us. Mark Webber going through fourth fastest throughout the week at testing at Silverstone, and he'll be testing the Formula One car on Tuesday, so it's a tough life for Mark Webber at the moment. I'm sure, Neil Bates, you would enjoy a life similar to that.
Yeah, it would be good if you could get that sort of gig.
Now, next weekend, of course, the start of your season is right underway. Has Toyota pulling out of the World Rally Championship affected you in any way in how your development's going to go on the car this year?
It'll be interesting to see. I believe in the short term it could well be a benefit for us, because I think there'll be more parts available and the information will be far more readily available, because in the past, you know, they're always off doing a World Championship round somewhere, and there was, you know, 300-odd staff at Toyota Team Europe, and now they're running a customer support program, which I believe will only have about 15 staff. So it should be a lot easier to be able to stay in contact with those people and gather information.
Mm. I would imagine that with how the World Rally Championship's gone so far this year, Possum Bourne's going to also be making a few adjustments and changes to his car, and it's going to be looking good for the Subaru. So do you think you've overcome that performance difference that you'd quite heavily narrowed over the course of last season?
Yeah, I hope so. We've done a lot of work on the car over the break, and we've actually done quite a bit of testing, which, you know, in the past we haven't had the time or the money to do. So I'm quite confident that we'll have a very good package for the start of the season, and as you say, I'm sure Possum will as well. I think it'll still be very close, and it'll come down to who does a better job on the weekend once again.
Now, the Australian Rally Series not being run by CAMS this year but by the Project Group, do you think that's given you as a team owner and driver a more professional outlook? Do you think the series has taken on a more professional front?
Yeah, well, it's still under CAMS umbrella, but there's now what they call Rally Corp, which is very similar to a Navesco setup, and I think that'll be better for the teams. It gives the teams more opportunity to have a say in what's going on, and there's now a promotional company behind it, and I think that'll be better for the Australian Championship, and it can only go ahead from there. If you look what happened in V8 supercars over the last couple of years, it's gone ahead in leaps and bounds, so we just hope that the same can happen for rally.
Well, since you brought it up, the V8 supercars, I hear you're very close to getting a sponsor yourself for at least the National Capital Rally, the National Capital GMC 400.
Yeah, basically I have a deal to do that. It's just a matter of sourcing a car, so I'm trying to put a deal together at the moment, and as soon as I get back from Perth, I'll be working on that, and hopefully it'll all be sorted out within a week or two from when I get back.
Now, for yourself, this year, obviously Possum Bourne's the main rival for you, but has there been anyone in the off-season that's also gone after WRC cars or gone after the Group A title?
Well, Brett Middleton will have a Group A Subaru, but I don't believe it'll be to the same spec of our car or Possum's car, but he'll certainly be there snapping at the heels. You know, although I believe he'll have his work cut out to be Ed Ordinsky and Cuddy Crocker, who are both seasoned campaigners in their vehicles, and I think he'll possibly struggle against them initially, but I'm sure by the end of the year he'll be going very quickly.
Well, the Forest Rally, it's a pretty tough event, and also on fairly tough roads, and an event I don't think you particularly like all that much.
Yeah, over the years I've won the Forest Rally quite a lot of times, but I've never started 100% comfortable on the Western Australian roads. But this year it's actually moved down south. It's run out of Busselton, and the roads are a lot different down there, and I think they'll be a lot more to my liking there. They're a wider road, more flowing, very twisty, whereas before it was quite narrow and fast. And I think that, you know, all the competitors will enjoy the roads down south a lot more.
Mm. All right then, Neil, we wish you all the best. What other activities? You're already in Perth. Is there a lot of promotional activities for this event this year?
Well, we will be doing 2-day testing. We'll test tomorrow on Tuesday. Then we've got a day off on Wednesday. We're doing our recce on Thursday, and then the media day's on Friday, and it starts Friday night. So we get a day off on Wednesday, but apart from that, it'll be fairly busy.
And how's everything building up towards Rally of Canberra this year?
Yeah, really good. I think that last year's Rally of Canberra was a great event, and it can only improve for this year, and I'm looking forward to that, and certainly I'll be aiming to get a lot further than what I did last year.
All right then, Neil, all the best for next weekend. I look forward to having a chat with you, and hopefully we can talk about two leg victories by this time next Sunday.
No problems at all. And who was actually on pole for the Grand Prix?
For the Grand Prix, Häkkinen has taken the pole. I mean, it's chaos in Brazil. Absolute chaos, in fact, with only way to describe the qualifying. The session had to be stopped 3 times, and in all 3 cases, it was advertising balls falling into the middle of the start-finish straight that caused the red flag period. So Häkkinen takes the pole. I think it was Coulthard, followed by
Schumacher.
Michael Schumacher in third.
Barrichello, Fisichella, and Irvine.
Well, the Jaguars obviously improved a lot.
Yeah, evidently Jackie Stewart extremely happy with that. And whilst we're talking a few results, De Ferran has given Team Penske its first pole in 50 races. So Team Penske going more than 2 years and 49 races since its last pole. Gil De Ferran has rectified his first start with the once elite Champ Car Series. In taking that pole position, he didn't manage to break Greg Moore's lap record there, but that is the seat that Greg Moore was supposed to be driving.
Actually, while we've still got you on the line, Neil, just to ask you a quick question regarding the news this week, of course, that Michael Guest, driving for the Winfield World Rally Team, had his first victory in the 2000 World Rally Championship Formula 2. Obviously good to see an Australian doing well overseas in the World Rally Championship.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Michael's been competing over there for a couple of years now, and this is his first significant results, so it's very good, and hopefully things can only get better from there. He's had a pretty rough time over the last couple of years with a lot of crashes and breakdowns and so forth, but hopefully he's with a good team now and things will go forward.
Often the case that the luck does turn around with a new car and a new team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thanks very much for joining us this evening, Neil Bates.
No problems at all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, so as we were talking then to Neil, obviously, the news this week that Michael Guest did take out the Formula 2 component of the World Road Championship round there in Portugal. Very, very good to see him doing that. He's actually winning from quite a strong field. And, of course, for the Hyundai World Rally Team, their boss, David Whitehead, was extremely pleased with Michael's performance. He said Michael's impressed the whole team with his performance, attitude and technical knowledge. We're now looking forward to the next event and Michael's first event in an Accents World Rally Car. And I bet Michael Guest is looking forward to getting his hands on that Accent World Rally Car as well. So, very good friend there. And, of course, last weekend, as we mentioned, was the World Rally Championship Portuguese Rally. And there, the winner, which I'm just sort of going through my 101 pieces of paper here, was Richard Burns in the Subaru World Rally Car. He first outing for that new variant of the Subaru. He won quite handily over Marcus Gromholman in the Peugeot. Carlos Sainz came third, and actually Ford were very pleased with Sainz' podium placing there in third. Harry Rovanapira came fourth, so those customer Toyotas are doing quite well. Francois Delacour, the second of the Peugeots, was fifth, and Martin was sixth in the other Toyota. So it's actually good to see how things are going there. Now, that win has taken Burns to the top of the leaderboard of the World Rally Championship, dislodging Tommy Mäkinen. And it's the first time that any driver other than Mäkinen has led the championship since the 1998 San Remo Rally. So, obviously, I'd say Tommy Mäkinen's going to be looking and saying to Mitsubishi, okay, where is my World Rally car? as always, technical problems sometimes jump to the fore. As we mentioned, Ford said that they are very happy with Sainz's placing on the podium, and Malcolm Wilson, who's the boss of the Ford Martini rally team, was claimed to be very happy with Carlos Sainz's third place in the Rally of Portugal, despite Colin McRae's Ford Focus WRC failing. Wilson said, "I said before the rally that at this point in the season it's important to accumulate points regularly. We've done that again here with our third podium finish of the season." He made no mention of the suspect engine failure that put McRae out of leg one. So it's the first pure gravel rally that Sainz had had in the Focus, and obviously he's settling into that car and the team.
Brendan Ramsey joins us on the line with another exciting day's racing in Formula Holden. The Australian Drivers' Championship's got that little bit closer after two races, of round number two. And Brendan, Eastern Creek, always a good racetrack for open-wheel cars, and we saw some more close racing once again.
Oh, look, we've had two fantastic races out here at Eastern Creek today. The track, as you mentioned, is ideally suited for Formula Holden race cars. These cars getting up to around 250 kilometres an hour. So we had great racing, and I've actually got a couple of the drivers standing by to have a talk with you in a minute.
One question I did want to ask, Tim Lay set a great new track record pole position, but then didn't feature too much in the racing proper.
Oh, look, Tim's lead-up has been sensational. He did, some of the fastest times we've ever seen around this track in an open-wheel race car in practice and in qualifying, qualified on pole, and then it just all turned nasty and didn't finish in either race. Spun out in race two and also in race one he had a little problem. So a disastrous weekend for Tim. Let's hope that he can get that back on track at our next round.
And unfortunately carrying on from a disaster at Phillip Island as well. So not the season Tim Lay was hoping for.
Definitely not, but I mean he's shown with that car that that they've definitely got the speed, and let's hope he can put it together in Adelaide for our next round.
Well, Simon Wills has had his wings clipped a little bit, but was doing it well out in front in race number one.
Yeah, race one and Simon had pretty much all to himself. There was a bit of a battle further back in the field, but Simon did run away with that first race after Tim retired.
All right, now I know you have got Simon Wills champing at the bit wanting to speak with us, so we might take this opportunity now to speak with him. Of course, the Kiwi champion last year in the Formula Holden has continued on, and Simon Wills, congratulations, another victory in the Formula Holden. You must really like this category with the success you've been able to get in it.
I've had a pretty good run so far and all that, but unfortunately today I've had my first TNF in a long time, so it's a bit hard, but now all these things happen.
And with Formula Holden this year, it's getting a lot like Formula Ford, where you really can't afford to drop around because, it just means that everyone gets a little bit closer together, and now only 3 points separating yourself and the newcomer to Ford Formula Holden in Christian Murchison.
Yeah, it is very close, and yeah, unfortunately I've had DNF and it sort of hurts you a little bit, but luckily I'm still right up there in the championship, but Christian's doing a great job, and so are the other guys. I've really caught up this year, and I know it's going to be a tough season ahead, and hopefully they don't really get any faster.
Now, with yourself, another year in the Formula Holdens, what's your aim for at the end of this year? Do you have any plans to move overseas again?
I've sort of given up on those plans. If something turns up, then they'll be good. But at the moment, I'm talking to a couple of V18s. I've driven for a couple of them just lately, just testing in relation to hoping to try and get in for the endurance races and maybe even do a few sprint races towards the end of the year.
And obviously, with the success in the Formula Holdens, it gives you a great resume, as it were.
Yeah, things have been pretty good for me of late, but the boys are really starting to push me along, so yeah, I've got to make sure I don't start losing or else it's going to start making me look pretty stupid.
Well, Simon, we wish you all the best now. Round three, is there much you can do to the car to get a bit more performance edge off it?
Yeah, there is quite a bit. We've had a pretty bad car here this weekend, and we know where the areas of where it's wrong, so we know where to improve it. We're going to go away and get the bits necessary, and we should be looking strong for the next round at Adelaide.
Well, Simon, we're looking forward to catching up with you at the Clipsal 500, and we wish you all the best for that.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Simon Wills joining us on the line there as we just wait to join with Christian Murchison. We spoke to Christian Murchison only 2 weeks ago after a fantastic performance at the Melbourne Formula One Grand Prix, and Christian, you managed to carry that form on.
Yeah, no, I'm really, really happy. We've just had a great weekend and just sort of improving every single time we go out on the track. So, you know, I'm wrapped and we've come away with a lot of points and caught up in the championship significantly.
The Arthur Abrams, he's very experienced crew chief and manager of a team, and I guess that's all coming together.
Yeah, no, Arthur's worked very hard, and so has the rest of the team. They've done a fantastic job and just given me a sensational car, and it's sort of, you know, every time we've gone out, we've gone quicker, and we've been able to keep up with Simon and Tim Lay. Unfortunately for Tim, he had a bit of a moment, and, you know, it sort of worked to my favour, and I was able to capitalise on the last race with Simon not having such a good start. So, yeah, no, I mean, the team's worked great, and we're sort of progressing every single meeting, and, you know, hopefully we'll get up there, and we will be qualifying on pole, but, you know, that's something that we'll be working on very hard in the next couple of rounds, and I'm looking forward to it.
You weren't expecting, I think, in your wildest dreams to pick up a victory in the second round of your Formula Holden career.
Well, no, not at all. I mean, you know, I was sort of looking for you know, getting some points, but we sort of had a lot of engine problems at La Pole, and that was really the cause for us not being up with the rest of the sort of pace, and unfortunately I also had my appendix removed the week before, and that sort of hampered my progress significantly with my driving ability, but luckily, you know, I've had a great, you know, meeting here, and we've found a lot of horsepower, and it's sort of, you know, made my job a lot easier and closed the gap, so I'm you know, very happy with how it's ended up, and, you know, we'll keep trying.
All right, and your NRC teammate, Dale Breed, how did he get on today?
Dale actually had a few problems with his car. He sort of, unfortunately, in qualifying, he had an off and tagged the wall without having, you know, put in a quick lap, so he ended up qualifying seventh and sort of put him back in the field, and he just seemed to struggle with, you know, getting it together, and unfortunately he'll sort of, you know, try harder, but I think he'll definitely be up there back at Adelaide.
And, of course, with 57 points, 3 points behind Simon Wills in the championship going off to Adelaide, it does will give you that little bit of a renewed zest and a bit of spite for that race.
Well, yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, I'm just so happy to be so close in the championship with, you know, I mean, I don't honestly see any reason why we can't run with them. And, you know, I think if everything goes well, we've got a good chance at the championship. And, I mean, that'll be sensational for me because, you know, it's my rookie year and I'm still learning about the cars every time we go out and onto the circuit. And, you know, everything just seems to be coming along this year, and I'm just very, very happy.
Well, Christian, we look forward to catching up with you at the Clipsal 500, where the Formula Fords will be out back on the modified Adelaide Grand Prix track. And I would imagine that this would be your first time to go on that track, because I don't think you're in the Formula Fords when the Grand Prix were there.
Well, no, that's correct, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I've been told it's a very good track and extremely bumpy, so that'll probably be my biggest drama in one of these cars. I mean, just being so stiffly sprung, it seems to give the body quite a good workout. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and I've never been there, and just trying to, you know, learn the track as quickly as possible and trying to keep up with these fast boys.
Yeah, well, Christian Murchison, congratulations. Taking out round number two today at Eastern Creek Raceway.
Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot for that.
Not a problem.
See you later.
And the sounds of Formula One will be taking place this evening for the Brazilian Grand Prix in São Paulo. And of course, lots of things happening over there in qualifying. As Craig mentioned earlier, they had advertising hoardings collapsing onto the track, causing stoppages. And one of the big stories this weekend, of course, the fact that there will be no Brazilian Grand Prix for the Sauber team, with Peter Sauber announcing that after a number of rear wing failures in practice and qualifying, the Sauber Petronas team would be withdrawn from the race. The first accident occurred when Mika Salo's wing failed in morning practice, pitching the fin off the track and into the barriers at high speed. Pedro Diniz suffered a failure in qualifying but was able to avoid an accident. The withdrawal is a personal disaster for Diniz, who's actually from São Paulo, where the race is being held. So for Sauber, the double whammy after having to withdraw the season opener in Melbourne 2 weeks ago when Mika Salo was disqualified from sixth place because of minor technical infringement. They now have to withdraw. and actually withdrawing from a race is a highly unusual event. Ironically, Sauber was the last team to withdraw from a race weekend after Carl Wendlinger's near-fatal practice crash at Monaco in 1994. Interestingly enough, the qualifying grid for Brazilian Grand Prix sees Finn Mika Hakkinen on pole in his McLaren Mercedes, with teammate David Coulthard taking out second place on the grid. Sitting behind them in third place is Michael Schumacher in the Ferrari, with Rubens Barrichello, also from Ferrari, in fourth position. Fisichella, the Benetton playoff, sitting in fifth, with Eddie Irvine, a much better showing for the Jaguar, in sixth. Heinz Harald Frentzen and the Jordan Mugen Honda in seventh, with Zonta, interesting enough, in the Bar Honda in eighth. And then, surprise, surprise, the young lad Jenson Button sitting in seventh position on the grid, and very good there for Jenson Button sitting in that position, ahead of Jacques Villeneuve, tenth on the grid in the Bauer Honda, and then Ralf Schumacher in second of the BMW Williams. Yano Trulli in second of the Jordan Mugen Hondas in 12th on the grid. So, but unfortunately, Johnny Herbert languishing down in 17th, and De La Rosa in 16th in the Arrows. And the other Arrows, where are we now? Jeez, I can't even find it. I'm listening, so it must be hotting somewhere, that's for sure. But anyhow, there's other things happening around the world today. Lots of good racing going on all over the place.
And, well, the V8 light category took off in what was very interesting circumstances at Eastern Creek Raceway this weekend. Craig Harris was one of the men hoping to make a real good start to the championship, but Craig, we were talking off air and you said it was nothing short of a disaster.
No, exactly. It wasn't the best weekend we've ever had. We were very happy with the way the car went in practice yesterday. The first session we were the quickest. The second session we were just off the pace in the second fastest, and we qualified second on the grid, 11 tenths of a second off pole, which is, you can't even blink that quick. But today it all turned south for us, unfortunately, and in the first race I got a bit sideways on some oil and got T-boned by someone, and though we changed the tyre and pulled the guard off the tyre, we thought everything was alright. Unfortunately, going through the left-hand sweeper at the end of the straight, which is probably the fastest corner on the whole track, we normally go through there about 190 kilometres an hour, the effects of the crash, obviously it fractured a upright bolt on the right-hand front, and going through the corner of the right-hand front wheel gave way and fell underneath the car. And it just speared off, unfortunately, into the concrete wall, which is, doesn't do the car a lot of good at all, and we're in a bit of trouble.
Well, with the series as a whole, it was amazing to see after qualifying the top five cars all within 1 second of each other, and it was looking like it was going to prove for some very close racing. How did you find the whole concept?
I think the concept's fantastic. I think Konica have done a fantastic job with the Vesco getting behind this series, and I take my hat off to them. It's great for them to give young, up-and-coming drivers and drivers like myself who are business people who don't have the time to do the whole series the opportunity to race and race competitively and get their sponsors in front of television, and that's the whole idea. You know, I have a sponsor, carsales.com.au, who we need to get them out in public, and running the Konica Light Series does that for us.
Now, you're based up there in Queensland, and one would think that you've got a few races to travel to before that Queensland race is actually given a track and named.
Yes, well, I think it's now confirmed that we will be racing the Queensland race at Lakeside, mm-hmm. which is good. I do like Lakeside. It's a great track. It's tight, but it's a great track. But you're right, we've got a few races to go. We've got to be in Phillip Island on the 5th of May, and then back to Oran Park after that, and then Queensland, and then we go to Adelaide, to Malala. So it's a pretty heavy schedule. You know, though there's only five rounds, it's a pretty heavy schedule for us.
Yeah, there's... whilst you are using slightly older cars, you've still got to get them everywhere, feed the crew and do all that sort of stuff.
All of that, and unfortunately for us, we've got to go back and just strip the car down and rebuild it, because it's pretty close to being destroyed. The front and the rear shock towers have been moved to the left-hand side of the car by about an inch and a half to 2 inches, so my guys have got a fair amount of work to do, and I've got to take my hat off to them. They'll be probably working 14, 15-hour days at least for the next 4 weeks just to get that car back on the track for Phillip Island.
All right. Well, Craig, we appreciate you taking the time out. Now, that, of course, is the X Pyrotech Racing Falcon. So I would imagine that with the Stone Brothers up that way, they might be able to give you a bit of a hand as well.
I'm sure Ross and Jimmy will be able to help us, which is, you know, without guys like Ross and Jimmy and without our major sponsors, carsales.com.au and Castrol and people like that, we just couldn't be racing. And it's great to have guys like Ross and Jimmy Stone around, because, yes, they are very helpful when you need them.
Mm. All right, then. Well, we wish you all the best for round number two, Craig, as you have what is a long trip back up there to Brisbane.
Thank you. Yeah, by this time tomorrow afternoon, the car will probably be in 100 pieces on the floor and we'll be into it.
All right, then. Well, thanks for the time speaking with us today.
Thanks for your good wishes.
Yeah, no worries. And just to let you know, after the three rounds, some interesting winners right throughout the whole 3 days of racing. And, well, after Ryan McLeod took pole position, it was not without people like Dean Cantor, Matthew White, Craig Harris, all being up in that lead bunch, and as I said, the top five all within 1 second of each other, which was a very interesting and a lot closer than the last time I saw V8 racing at Eastern Creek, which is the AMS car series.
Yeah, I think what we'll find is that it'll be a little bit different from the time that the professional teams go there in a few in about a month or so's time. I think we'll find the lap time will be a little bit different in terms of what we get there.
Mm. But the lap times weren't that bad when you think they were all midfield lap times. They weren't back of the field lap times, which is, well, naturally a problem that you can get with the slower cars. And if you're not in this series, you're not going to Bathurst. That's the other important factor.
Yes, I must admit, I heard Tony Cochran's little comment today talking about which Bathurst he thought was the Bathurst. I think a few people still might disagree with him. But anyhow, in the UK, they've been continuing testing for the British Touring Car Championship last Thursday, Friday, with Vauxhall coming out on top of the latest testing at Croft, where the Works Vectors ran fastest before the testing session had to be banned due to a rainstorm. Vauxhall's new driver, Jason Plater, ended the two-day test fastest, eclipsing the best time of his teammate, Yvonne Muller, from on the first day of testing. Next in was Tom Christensen, the Dane, who's just joined Honda there in the UK, and his Honda Accord was doing at a time that was just a whisker slower than what Jason Plater was putting in, with Ford slipping back a little bit with Anthony Reid coming fourth fastest out of the test. Fifth was Matt Neal's private run Nissan Primera, so he's right in amongst those factory teams. Sixth was Ricardo Rydell in the Ford, then James Thompson in the Honda, Gabriele Tarquini in the Jazz team Honda Accord, Vincent Radomaki is behind, and then Colin Blair in the Nissan Primera, which is running as a privateer this year. So testing continuing for the British Touring Car Championship. Their first race was put back till the Easter weekend. Originally they were due to start around at this time, but because of the changes to the championship and avoid conflict with the saloon cars, production cars that are joining them, they've moved things around a little bit there as well. So their testing has been running quite well over there for them.
NHRA drag racing news. The fates of Luck and Fortune have been very fickle, and Doug Kalita, Randy Daniels certainly won't argue with that assessment, as both drivers came into the 31st annual MacTools Gatorade Nationals down on their luck following failures to qualify at their respective last events. For Top Fuel ace Kalita, it was the Checkers Shucks Krager Nationals 3 weeks ago. But Kalita, with his new sponsor, MGM Grand Hotel and Casino, knows full well that winning the rags to riches may be the only way to play their cards a winning hand. The Gainesville Raceway for Kalita had his third career win. For Daniels, it's been a long 6 weeks since the Pro Stock Trucks ran last at the season opener AutoZone Winter Nationals. And Daniels also bounced back from his did not qualify to score a Pro Stock Truck victory. He and Kalita were joined in the winner's circle by Jerry Tolliver, Warren Johnson and David Schultz, who won race titles in Funny Car, Pro Stock and Pro Bike, respectively. Looking at the divisions, 3 weeks ago, Kalita was sent home before Sunday's action had even started. He was disappointed and, well, recorded the did not qualify on the scorecard. But on this day, his MGM Grand team had worked overtime and they were rewarded with the event title. Kalita spoiled the day for Winston Cup champion Tony Shoemaker in the finals, running a 4.614 at 313.58 miles per hour opposite Shoemaker's 4.679 at 314.97. The win was then temporarily put on hold as officials checked to see if Kalita crossed the centre line. In his victory, Kalita had beaten Tony Mullins, Don Lompas, Kenny Bernstein on his way to the matchup with Shoemaker. Dave Grubnik, Joe Amato, Gary Filthy were Shoemaker's opponents on the other lane. And Doug Kalita, extremely happy with the win when they were caught up with him after the race.
I tell you, the car really ran well. You know, the guys worked real hard to get this thing running good, and we're just real happy to get the win. You know, Tony won last weekend, and you know, I was hoping he wouldn't win two in a row, because we definitely needed this race after going to the last race and not qualifying. You know, it was it's a real upbeat thing for our team. We're just going to keep digging as hard as we can, you know, with the MGM Grand sponsorship and Mac Tools and Gate Belt. You know, we've got quite a few people backing us, and we're really looking forward to doing good this year.
Showing more bravado than his World Wrestling Federation counterparts, Jerry Tolliver body slammed the competition in the funny car class to take out his third win in the last four races. This time, the final round victim of the US Tobacco Company driver, Ron Capps, who had lifted off the accelerator in the finals when his car did a huge wheel stand. Tolliver won with a 5.071 at 296.5 miles per hour. Tolliver drove by Dean Silska, Tony Pedregan and newcomer Todd Patton to get to the finals. Capps ran away from Al Hoffman, Del Worsham, Scotty Cannon before bowing to Tolliver. Tolliver, extremely happy with the result.
Well, you know, Jerry came out here to watch this run, and we're real proud to win this for the World Wrestling Federation. Am I talking fast? I think I am, huh? Because my car is fast. Everything's fast over here.
It is safe to say Johnson has returned to prominence in the Pro Stock category. The GM Goodrich Service Plus Pro swept two honours in the Gatorade Nationals, setting the meet's top speed and low elapsed time, winning the title on race day. He handed Troy Coughlin in his eighth final round loss with a steady 6.9 at 199.35 miles per hour and gained some valuable ground on Coughlin's brother Jed, who was beaten in round two by Richie Stevens. Johnson now trails Jed by just 26 points in the standings. Johnson's road to victory came at the expense of George Marnell, Jim Yates, Ron Krishna, whilst Troy drove past his brother Jed's mail order machine, also passed Larry Morgan, Bruce Allen and Stevens to reach the final round. In the trucks, Bailey's Trucking Daniels was the best of the Pro Stock trucks. The class throughout the entire race weekend was taking the top spot in qualifying ladder early on Friday, crashing it in the third round national event win. Daniels, who recorded did not qualify at the last truck event in Pomona, dispatched the BDP entries of Greg Stanfield with a 7.517 second lap at 178.21 miles per hour against the partially aborted 7.779 at 148.35. Daniel smoked Tim Freeman, Brian Self and Jeff Garcia to get to the finals. Stanfield, meanwhile, used unbelievable hole shots to beat Scott Perrin with a 4.18 over a 4.31 and Brad Jeddah with a 4.10 compared to Jeddah's 4.53 before getting an easy win over the broken David Spitzer. Stanfield also benefited from Spitzer's surprise second round win over former points leader Bob Pinella Jr. Stanfield now leads the Winston Points Championship by 15 over Pinella. Daniels has moved his way into third position.
And that's the news of what's happening with the drag racing world. But of course, as Craig mentioned earlier on, Jill DeFerrin has surprised many people by taking pole for tonight's opening kart championship race in his first appearance for Team Penske. DeFerrin's pole was the first for Penske in almost 3 years since Paul Tracy qualified fastest at Milwaukee in 1997. The Brazilian's Reinhard Honda beat defending champion Juan Montoya's Lola Toyota to the pole by 0.006 of a second. Interesting enough to see as well that the Lola Toyota of DeFerrin for Montoya with the Ganassi team is actually going very, very well. They're qualifying well because obviously things are getting good for the Toyota engine, and it won't be long before Toyota scores its first champ car victory in all possibility. But the starting grid for the Miami Kart FedEx World Series Round 1 taking place at Homestead. Jules de Ferran in the Penske on pole from Juan Montoya and for Ganassi. Adrian Fernandez, Patrick in third. Andre Tagliani, Forsyth fourth. Kenny Brack and Ray Hall out of fifth. Michael Andre and Newman Haas sixth. Roberto Moreno, super sub for Patrick out of seventh. Helio Castroneves for Penske out of eighth. Christian Fittipaldi for Newman Haas out of nine. And Jimmy Vassar for Ganassi out of ten. Patrick Carpentier for Forsyth and Max Pappas for Ray Hall. Tony Canan for No None. Shinji Nakano for Walker. Mark Blundell out of 15th place for PacWest. Paul Tracy for Team Green, 16, and so on down the line. So looks like it'll be an interesting race, and of course that'll be shown tomorrow night at Australian time. In World Rally Championship news, the San Remo Rally looks like it's up for a date change. Originally the Italian round of the World Rally Championship was scheduled for October 12th, 15, and it will now look to take place about 7 days earlier. The move is to avoid a clash of dates with the feast day to mark the patron saint of the area, San Romolo. The organisers, the Automobile Club San Remo, are also keen to avoid running at the weekend to avoid the risk of spectator problems. It's unclear at this point in time whether the FIA will agree to the change in dates, as weekend finishes are theoretically compulsory this year to boost television coverage. Because we've had enough complaints from the various teams about the lack of television coverage for that championship. In some American Le Mans Series news, BMW looking for a change in fortune following their bad showing at Sebring last weekend when they head off to Charlotte for this next round of the American Le Mans Series. The brand new 2001 spec BMW M3 GT class racer will be driven by veteran sports and touring car racer Hans Stuck, and the team is hoping for a bit more luck as they have an uphill battle to develop the new machine while attempting to fight off the class-dominant Porsche 911 GT3s. However, the team is confident it can find success. During the Sebring 12-hour race, Stuck had problems retiring after having half-shaft trouble and then engine failure. So hopefully those guys can do a little bit better. But again, they're having an uphill battle against the 911 GT3s, car that has been sort of the mark of the field for some time. In a few other bits and pieces, let's see, Kart Toyota Atlantic Championship news. Rookie Daniel Wilden of England will start in the pole for Sunday's Kart Toyota Atlantic Championship race at Homestead, so looking good for him. And the other news, of course, moving from four wheels to two, last weekend was the win in the 500cc Grand Prix over in South Africa at Welcome by Australian Gary McCoy, proving the fact that since McDoohan's retired, another Australian was ready to take up the charge in his Red Bull Yamaha. McCoy taking his first maiden win after only 2500cc Grand Prix starts, and he'll be starting next weekend in the Malaysian Grand Prix. So we hope things go well for Gary McCoy. And moving on to Formula One news, Arrow's Formula One technical boss Mike Coghlan has given the reason for the identical steering suspension fires which caused problems for both Pedro de la Rosa and Jos Verstappen in the early laps of the Australian Grand Prix a fortnight ago. He said, "It's the first time we have run the car in such hot conditions with a heavy fuel load and in a circuit that is tough on brakes. The brakes got hot, so the suspension got hot, and the carbon fibre bond broke down. I think there'd be a little bit of work going on there to improve the situation for the suspension arms on those areas, and hopefully we won't see a repeat of that." I'm sure Mark Webber doesn't want to see that sort of failure arriving when he's doing his testing later this week for the Arrows team. The other interesting news happening around this week, of course, is that Victoria's sole round of the V8 Supercar V8 Lite Series has been moved from Sandown to Phillip Island. Sandown promoter John Davidson passed on the second round of the series to be scheduled for 6th, 7th May because he believed it wouldn't be viable. So the Phillip Island promoters put their hand up and said yes, they would take it, also to try and recover a bit of popularity with the crowd after the problems they had at the first round with the split round and also the traffic problems there getting people on and off Phillip Island. So they pick up the second round of the series on the 6th and 7th of May. So all sorts of things happening there. As always, things seem to go round and round, as they say, with various testing. And in Formula 3000, the Italian Championship, Australian Formula 1 aspirant Andrei Pavlicevic has tested his Benetton on Formula Team Formula 3000 car at two of Italy's toughest tracks. So good to see another Australian there getting in into those feeder classes for Formula 1, in this case Pavlicevic, taking part in the Italian Formula 3000 Championship with the Benetton Junior Team. Now that team actually should be interesting to see what happens with them now the announcement has been made that Benetton is being bought out by Renault. They'll be sponsored by, the Benetton team will continue to be sponsored by Benetton, but from 2001 they will become the official Renault factory team. So yeah, it will be interesting to see where they end up in time. So we've got a few bits and pieces of news to come along the line here. It's sorting through what we've got. As always, on a Grand Prix weekend, we'll be catching up with our man in Adelaide, our Formula 1 correspondent, Rory Gordon, shortly, and we'll hopefully get some news from Rory in terms of the latest ins and outs that he's been able to get hold of regarding the Brazilian Grand Prix. The interesting part is, if we look through some of the things going on in Formula 1, apparently after the Melbourne Grand Prix, there was a bit of argument going on between the various teams and the FIA regarding the ruling on the head protection, and apparently the different way that it has been interpreted by teams such as Jordan, Arrows and McLaren has all come in for different comments. But the last report was that Arrows were having to look at the way they have their head protection designed in their car, and have to make some changes before this Brazilian Grand Prix. Now, obviously enough, they've obviously gone and made those changes. And at the same time, Jaguar has announced that they've commissioned a new wind tunnel, which they hope will be operational in 2 years. Eddie Irvine has identified the lack of a wind tunnel as the biggest single handicap in its attempt to break domination of the top two teams. Also, Brewer Foster's has signed a 10-year sponsorship deal with Formula One worth a reputed £200 million, convert Australian dollars to pounds, and that's a lot of money. Part of the arrangement is to be the title sponsor of the British Grand Prix. I think if they had that much money, they could probably buy a team and sponsor a couple of Australian drivers quite well. And the other word from the UK is the fact that the British Touring Car Chip organising body TOCA is apparently in discussion with British motorsport promoters, the people who've got the contract to run the British Touring Car Championship from 2002, for a possible buyout. In this case, what would happen is that BMP, British Motorsport Promoters, would buy out TOCA and take over control of the British Touring Car Championship from this year, but with TOCA running it for them on a sort of a contract or subcontract basis, and so basically they'd just keep on the same old crew. At the same time, Alan Gow has been rumoured to be looking elsewhere, potentially looking to move to another championship overseas. In other news, internationally, Italian touring car driver Roberto Ravaglia is looking to return to touring car racing to drive in the Spa-Francorchamps 24-hour race. The 42-year-old would join the All-Star squad to pilot one of three Super Production Raffanelli BMW 320s in Belgium on August 5th and 6th. Ravaglia has won 7 major tin top titles in 14 years with BMW, making him the most successful touring car driver of all time. He retired in 1997 to focus on his BMW dealerships. Raffanelli formerly ran the legendary Bugatti touring car team, for which Ravaglia drove a full season in the 95 German Super Touring Championship. So it'll be a rejoining of two top people, Raffanelli, who used to run Schnitzer, and Ravaglia. So good news there for touring car fans. Actually, that's one of the races that if ever the opportunity is there to get overseas to see the Nürburgring 24-hour race for touring cars and the Spa-Francorchamps race, are two of the top touring car races in the world. Meantime, the new German touring car championship, the new DTM, testing has been going on at the Spanish track Jarama, with testing being taken on by the DTM Mercedes-Benz CLKs. They've had over there Bernd Schneider, Klaus Ludwig doing driving along with Peter Dunbrick and Darren Turner, and former BMW junior driver Christian Menzel is in the range to drive one of the AB Sportsline Audi TTs. So things are certainly going to hot up for that championship. Interesting to see if somebody does pick up coverage of that and show it over here. It's been a few years since we have actually seen anything out of the German Touring Car Championship, the DTM, or even the Super Touring Championship when I was running. That out to the cable people. The other thing is that there is still apparently word going on about whether or not we're going to see Formula 3000 in Australia for this season. But anyhow, we've got something new going on, and we'll see what's there.
Paul Morris joins us from Thruxton Raceway over there in the UK. The Power Tour are about to get set. And, Paul, I've been anxiously awaiting the start of this division because it's a very new way of promoting motorsport with a lot of bodies who normally won't work together, they'll work against each other, have all decided to push in one direction.
Well, that's true to an extent. I mean, sometimes in the UK these championships have run in the same place at the same time before, but Power Tour does mean that they run throughout the entire year together, and we think that's a tremendous step forward and will provide great motorsport entertainment for crowds across the country.
Now, already in qualifying, we've seen some interesting results and some interesting drivers turning up in the form of John Clellan coming out in a GTO car.
Well, that's right, and indeed he's doing quite well for himself. John's a real character, and that brings a whole new dimension to the GT Championship for this year. Other people that we sort of can't disclose names on now are talking to us seriously about getting involved as well, who your listeners will have heard of. So Patel's certainly the series to watch. We're going to have lots of exciting developments over here.
And one thing is no surprise at the front of the field with Neil Cunningham and the Dodge Vipers once again up there.
Yeah, the Vipers obviously proved very competitive last year, and they seem to have picked up where they left off. But, you know, in every championship that we're running, there's a good mix of cars this year and plenty of interest, really, in which models, which manufacturers, as well as which drivers, are going to prove successful.
Mm. Now, in Formula 3 last year, Matt Hines was certainly the one to keep an eye on with the Manor Motorsports team. Who this year is the ones to look out for?
Well, I suppose the name that's that fit the headlines over the last few days with testing leading up to Thruxton is Pitsonia. I mean, he had an interesting session yesterday, but you've only got to look back to the way that Jenson Button sort of came from nowhere last year and found himself in Formula One to say that that championship is full of talent, left, right and centre, people itching to sort of demonstrate what they can do and move on to still greater things. So, you know, it's too early to call, really, at this stage, I'm afraid.
But a great series in that one with drivers from all over the world. I know the Indian driver, whose name I won't even try to pronounce back again. And
yeah, I believe it's Kodkainen.
And, of course, Paul Stewart, once again, having an involvement with teams there, makes for a great series as well, as you mentioned. But saloon cars and MGF, two divisions we don't really have over here at the moment, also coming on the program.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, national saloons in the UK is just sort of one step down from the well-known touring car championship. Last year, it really took off in a big way. That's moved forward still further. We've actually got 8 different manufacturers, 11 different models being entered in that championship for this year. Very close racing, action-packed entertainment. MGF, well, the MG mark's obviously known well around the world. They're two-seater mid-engined sports car, the MGF, is big in Europe. So lots of people who have those cars as their own personal transport obviously keen to see how they perform on the track as well. And again, very successful, very competitive, fairly evenly matched championship there that we think is going to provide great entertainment.
And another feature of all the Power Tour events is the carnival that you are holding inside the circuit grounds. I would imagine that's starting to get into full swing today.
It will do, yes indeed. We're just sort of opening for business here now. Crowd's starting to come in. We're enjoying a nice sunny day at the moment, so fingers crossed that will continue. Power Tour is all about making motor racing more accessible. The paddock, yes, is open to all comers. Instead of having the presentations to the top 3 drivers in each championship straight after their race, we hold those back to the end of the day so people can come along and get involved in getting close to the drivers, close to the cars, seeing the awards presentation, the champagne spray, just getting involved much more in the whole thing. Because we've also made the race meeting somewhat shorter. We're running races to fixed times rather than fixed laps, so the people coming along know exactly what's going to be happening when. We're packaging it into more of an afternoon of entertainment rather than an entire day, because, you know, people have got pressure on their time. At the weekends, they need to go and do the shopping, mow the lawn or whatever. We think that by representing motorsport along these lines, we will present something that's already a great product to people who aren't already switched on to it, that will boost the crowds, that will be good for the championships, good for the teams, the drivers, good for the circuits that host it, and good for motorsport in general.
And a great TV package with a man familiar to a lot of Australians, Richard Hay, who has been involved with motor racing over here and television commentary over the years over here, also being involved.
Yeah, that's right. Richard and his colleagues are providing lots of services to make sure that the various championships get good TV coverage. One of the main terrestrial TV stations over here, Channel 4, over the last year or so has got heavily involved with us in motorsport. They're going to be carrying coverage of F3, GT and the saloons. We have got arrangements for satellite coverage to pick up on this as well. So, yeah, I think it only goes to show that the motorsport isn't just booming at the Formula One level. It's booming certainly in Britain through all these sorts of championships. It's interesting that one of the championship sponsors, a company called Green Flag, who provide motoring services, has switched its sponsorship spending from the England football team to the British F3 Championship. So, you know, I think that is a statement of intent on their part, and demonstrates that people are cottoning on to the tremendous exposure and value that they can get from getting involved in motorsport packages like Hartle.
Yeah, I think I came over there a year too early to see some GT and Formula 3 racing. This new concept looks like it's going to be a winner, and I certainly wish everyone involved in it all the best.
Well, that's great, and if you do get the chance to come back, we'd love to see you.
Yeah, I'd love to be over there again too, I'll tell you. Phil Morris, thanks very much for your time, and we look forward to catching up with different people throughout the Power Tour right over the racing season.
No problem.
Phil Morris joining us there from Andover and Hampshire Shires in England, the Thruxton Racing Circuit, which is going to be a very exciting day for a very new concept, and a damn good one too. I think it's taking almost a speedway concept where you try to pack everything in into one short, sharp shock.
Well, that's right, and I think it's a way that a few promoters over here will probably look at given time and say, okay, what we want to do is provide a good mix of racing. I think in some ways, Toker Australia went with that sort of format with the Super Touring, but the way that the things are changing there, who knows how things are going to end up this year. But again, moving it to their summer seasons they're going to do is going to make it very, very interesting to see how it all works out over time. But yeah, the Power Tour is a good thing. Actually, I'd like to have a chat with that Clellan, that mad Scotsman, wants to go a few rides in those GT cars.
Yeah, he will be a good one to watch too. Let's go with a bit of NASCAR and a USA news now as we pull into the home stretch, as it were. Steve Park has pulled off his first career win, his first career Winston Cup pole position. The Bud Pole going to the third year driver. He's ripped off a track record on Friday afternoon to win pole position for tomorrow's Food City 500 in the NASCAR Winston Cup Championship race. At the Bristol Motor Speedway, Park turned a lap of 0.533 mile high bank concrete oval in 126.37 miles per hour. That's just a few ticks under 16 seconds. In his Chevrolet, he's broken Rusty Wallace's his Ford lap record, which was set last year. We heard from Steve after the event, or after his qualifying run, I should say.
I'm having a hard time breathing because I'm fighting a little bit of the flu, so I was telling some of the people outside, it's fortunate enough that you only have to hold your breath for 15 seconds around here, and unlike some of the other tracks that we go to, I'm just excited. The whole Pennzoil guys, they've done a great job. And our car, the new Chevrolet Monte Carlo, when they took that car out of the truck today, it was fast. So we're excited about having the opportunity to come to Bristol, and we thought we'd have a pretty good car, but to leave both practices and get the pole is something that we didn't really expect. Well, really, the performance started towards the second half of last year, and over the winter time, we were hoping with the new body change going to the new Monte Carlo that we'd be able to take that performance and roll it into this year. And if you look at the stats, they don't look good. We got two top 10 finishes and two DNFs in the first five races, and that's not the consistency that we've been looking for, but we've been having a lot of mechanical failures that the guys have been working real hard on trying to fix. And it seems like when we do finish these races, we can finish them in the top 10 and run for poles and run for wins like the race that we had out in Atlanta and stuff. So we feel like the whole team's really coming together, and this is the first full year with the same group of guys, the same crew chief, and I think it's really starting to show up on the racetrack. So the first pole for Dale Earnhardt and Teresa Earnhardt as car owners. So, you know, we've hit a lot of milestones today. Not only did we get a new track record, but, you know, the first pole for DEI is something that can never be topped, really. You can always get the second pole, but you can't always get the first. So I'm proud to be able to say that I was able to get the first pole for Dale, and we all know what kind of opportunities he's given to me in the Busch Series and now in Winston Cup, and also the Pennzoil. They've been just such a great sponsor over the last 2 years that we're just finally starting to hopefully make them proud with good runs and good finishes and pole positions, and hopefully this year get them their first win.
And in Busch Grand National news, Marlon, yeah, Sterling Marlon, or Sterling Munger as he was known when we were over there, had a last-minute sub drive for Dave Steele, who runs away with his second Korean NASCAR Busch Series win at Bristol on Saturday. And Mike Wallace, he ended Joe Ruttman's three-race pole winning streak with the NASCAR Craftsman Trucks Series leading qualifying at the Mesa Martin Raceway. In ASA news, Mike Garvey has opened a new era in American Speed Association history on Saturday by grabbing pole position for Sunday's BF Goodrich 200 at the USA International Speedway. So plenty of Speedway news, finishing off tonight with the dude, Danny Lasowski, taking another step towards bringing the first championship of the new millennium back to Missouri. The Show Me State driver had Friday's victory in the season-opening inaugural event at the Joplin 66 Speedway in the Pennzoil World of Outlaws Championship. Colin, an interesting weekend in sport, motorsport still not finished, with a few big races still yet to be run.
Well, that's right, and we'll be back next week with the results from the Brazilian Grand Prix, the first round of the Kart FedEx Championship, and, of course, the first round of Australian Rally Super Series. Hopefully we'll be talking to Neil Bates or Possum Bourne there. And of course,
hopefully Neil Bates.
Hopefully Neil Bates, yes, we want it to be Neil. And, of course, I'll give my prediction now for tonight's Brazilian Grand Prix, the beautiful sounds of Ferrari.
Inside Motorsport is produced by Thunder Media in the studios of Triple S FM Canberra via Comrade Sat with the support of the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia.